Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, dog nutrition, winter weather, and the holidays. We'll start with nutrition and then we'll move to the fun stuff. Let's start with the portion of the program I like to call Don't Eat That. Let's talk Dog Nutrition, Six Essential Nutrients Dogs Need by Diana Laverty Dunetz on Dogster. When it comes to dog nutrition, do you know the six nutrients your dog and you must have to survive and thrive? A groomer friend of mine recently recounted the story of a client who feeds her dog a limited four-ingredient fresh food diet due to food intolerances. When limited ingredient diets are common for dogs with food sensitivities, the client was not adding any supplementation for fear of causing the dog a reaction. I was floored because no four foods can provide all of the dog nutrition a pup needs to live a long, healthy life. Without supplements to fill in the nutritional gaps, this well-intentioned dog guardian is unwittingly causing her canine companion more harm than good. All living organisms need a wide variety of nutrients, substances from food that provide energy and enable our bodies to function and to survive. There are six major classes of nutrients for dogs and people: water, protein, fat, carbohydrates, vitamins, and minerals. Let's take a closer look at dog nutrition and six essential nutrients your dog needs to eat. First is water. What it is: a tasteless, colorless, odorless chemical made up of two hydrogen molecules and one oxygen molecule, hence the name H2O. Why it's important. Without water, life cannot exist. Water makes up 70 to 80% of a mature dog's lean body mass. Water's many important functions include dissolving and transporting nutrients to the cells, helping regulate body temperature, hydrolyzing protein, fat, and carbohydrates for digestion, cushioning the organs and nervous system, flushing waste from the body. Special considerations. A dog's water requirements vary based on health, activity, level, and environmental temperature. Most dogs self-regulate their water intake to meet their needs. Dogs fed high moisture foods typically drink less than kibble-fed dogs. All dogs should always have access to clean, fresh H2O. Get it straight from the tap, fitted with a good quality filter. Two, protein, what it is. Along with fats and carbohydrates, protein is a macronutrient, meaning that it supplies energy. Protein is made up of amino acids, the building blocks of life. Why it's important. Protein supplies essential and non-essential amino acids that are critical to life. Proteins give the body structure for strong hair, skin, nails, muscles, and bones, and are necessary to make hormones, neurotransmitters, enzymes, and antibodies that keep the body functioning optimally. Dogs must receive the essential amino acids from diet, as their bodies cannot produce them at the required levels. Protein can also supply energy in the absence of sufficient carbohydrates and fats. Because the body can't store protein, it needs a constant dietary supply. Special considerations. Growing puppies and pregnant and lactating females require about twice as much protein as an adult dog at maintenance. Get it from animal sources such as lean muscle meats, fish and eggs, plant-based sources such as beans and lentils. Next is fat. What it is? A macronutrient made up of fatty acids. Dietary fats are either saturated, like butter, cheese, or meat, polyunsaturated, like fish oil, flaxseed oil, sunflower oil, or monounsaturated, like olive oil. Why it's important? Fat supplies the most concentrated source of energy, with more than twice as many calories as protein and carbohydrates. It also provides essential omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids, enables absorption of fat-soluble vitamins, protects the internal organs, regulates body temperature, and promotes a healthy nervous system. Special considerations. Too much fat can trigger pancreatitis or gastrointestinal issues. Avoid fatty table scraps. Be aware that coconut oil does not supply essential fatty acids. Get it from low mercury fish and fish oil, plant-based oils such as flaxseed and hemp seed. Vitamins, what they are. Vitamins are organic compounds, meaning that they contain carbon, that are required in small quantities for proper metabolic function. Vitamins can be soluble in fat, like A, D, E, and K, or in water, B and C. Fat-soluble vitamins are stored in fatty tissues and the liver. Water-soluble vitamins are not stored. Because the body can't synthesize vitamins in sufficient quantities, they must come from the diet. Why they're important. Vitamins play a variety of critical roles, including regulating calcium and phosphorus levels, vitamin D, boosting the immune system, A, serving as antioxidants, C and E, enabling the blood to clot, vitamin K, and maintaining nervous system functions, B12. Special considerations. All home-prepared diets require vitamin supplementation. If you feed a commercial, complete and balanced food, do not add additional fat-soluble vitamins as toxicity can occur. Toxicity of water-soluble vitamins is unlikely as excess is excreted in the urine. You can get them from a varied diet containing organ and muscle meats and dog-friendly plant-based foods. Minerals, what they are. Minerals are inorganic compounds that the body needs to maintain proper metabolic functions. The body cannot manufacture minerals and so must get them from food. There are two classes of minerals, macro minerals, such as calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, sodium, potassium, and chloride, and micro minerals, such as iron, copper, zinc, manganese, selenium, and iodine. Macro minerals are required by the body in higher levels than micro minerals, but both types are equally important. Why they're important? Like vitamins, minerals perform a variety of functions in the body that are essential for supporting life, including constituting the major part of bones, calcium and phosphorus, carrying oxygen through the body, through iron, assisting in wound healing, zinc, providing antioxidant support, selenium, aiding in nerve transmission, sodium, potassium, calcium, and magnesium, and regulating fluid balance, sodium, chloride, and potassium. Special considerations. Growing puppies require more than double the calcium of adult dogs at maintenance. Calcium and phosphorus levels and ratios must be monitored closely in large breed puppies to avoid risk of developmental orthopedic disease. You can get them from different foods, which are rich in different minerals. Meat is high in phosphorus while bone is high in calcium. Organ meats provide copper and iron, while shellfish is rich in zinc. Next is carbohydrates. What they are. A macronutrient made up of units of sugars, starches, or indigestible fiber. Since dogs can synthesize glucose from sufficient dietary protein and fat, carbohydrates are the only nutrient class that is not essential for dogs. Why they're important? Carbohydrates are the main source of glucose, the fuel the body runs on. Although carbohydrates are not an essential nutrient for dogs, healthy carbohydrates supply important vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, and plant-based nutrients that help promote optimal health. Special considerations. Consuming a portion of energy from healthy carbohydrates spares protein for other important functions. Steer clear of high glycemic junk carbohydrates that provide little to no nutrition and rapidly raise blood sugar levels. You can get them from dog-friendly vegetables, fruits, legumes, and gluten-free grains. The importance of each nutrient class could and does take up entire books, so I've only skimmed the surface. The bottom line in dog nutrition is that all dogs need an ample supply of nutrients to survive and thrive. The fewer of these nutrients that come from food, the more supplementation is needed to fill the gaps. Now, power sources for dog nutrition. Not sure which foods hold the most nutrient bang for their buck? Check out this list to get you started. Water. Filtered tap water, clean, pure, cost-efficient, readily available. Protein. Whole eggs. Considered the most bioavailable source of protein, one large egg provides about 6 grams of protein. Fat. Sardines. Low mercury, nutrient-rich, high in essential omega-3 acids. Easy for me to say. EPA and DHA. Carbohydrates. Butternut squash. High in vitamins A and C. Loaded with antioxidant-rich carotenes, excellent source of many vitamins and minerals such as vitamins E and B6, magnesium, manganese, and potassium. For vitamins, dark leafy greens, rich in vitamins A, C, E, K, and folate, also in high carotenoids and many minerals shown to protect against cancer. Minerals, oysters, excellent source of copper, iron, manganese, magnesium, phosphorus, selenium, zinc, also rich in vitamin D and omega-3 fatty acids. And there you have it. I might try adding these power sources to my own diet, though I'm not quite sure about the sardines. From cathealth.com. Did you ever wonder, why does my cat chew on electrical cords? Does your cat? Mine doesn't. It's common for cats to chew on electrical cords, especially when they are kittens. However, it's quite dangerous and can result in choking, electrocution, bad oral burns, or death for the cat, and damage to electrical items and fire risk for your home. Why do cats chew electrical cords? It can be baffling to owners when their cat develops a habit of chewing on cords. Here are the main reasons cats do this. Kittens often chew many things, including electrical wires, when they're exploring and learning about their environment and the world. Some cats like the way it feels to chew on a cord, which gives them positive reinforcement and encourages them to chew wires in the future. Some cats chew on cords and get into other trouble in the home because they are bored and need more enrichment in their daily routine. A cat that has never chewed on a cord before and suddenly begins to do so, especially an adult or older cat, might have a dental problem or a nutritional deficiency. How to keep your cat from chewing on cords? The first thing you should do if your adult or older cat starts chewing on cords is to visit a veterinarian for a full medical exam. Next, do your best to hide electrical cords and keep them out of reach of your cat. Additionally, you can try these methods. Wrap the cords in PVC or a rubber cord protector. Spray citrus-scented deterrents or bitter apple spray on the cords. Try something called critter cord, which wraps your cord in another cord that is infused with citrus deterrent. Work on training your cat to leave cords alone by using a toy to distract him when he approaches a wire and then giving him praise when he chases the toy instead of bothering the cord. Note that you should still use other precautions to protect your cat from cords while you train. Provide plenty of playtime. Here are some ways to enrich your cat's day and hopefully decrease any boredom that might be contributing to the cord chewing issue. If you suspect your cat has chewed on an electrical cord, contact your veterinarian immediately. For more information about first aid for electrocution, this article has a link to an article called First Aid for Electrocution Injury in Cats. Make sure you're playing with your cat routinely. Try to engage in several sessions of interactive play with your cat every day. Use wand toys to allow your cat to use his hunting instincts, which is hugely enriching for cats and helps fight boredom and stress-related negative behaviors. Be sure to put the toys away when you aren't using them because they are hazardous if they get wrapped around a cat's paw or neck. Find toys that might satisfy your cat's need to chew on objects, especially if you have a kitten. You can even use dog toys like the Kong, which has a rubbery texture like a cord. Make sure you have good scratching posts and put them in accessible high-traffic areas of your home. Cats love and need to scratch, so having these can help decrease boredom and stress. Remember, cord chewing is dangerous, so it should be a priority to stop the behavior when you see it. You should also do what you can to avoid the problem in the first place when you are getting a new kitten by hiding and wrapping existing cords before you bring him home. It can be easier to keep the problem from starting than to fix it once it does. Now from Vet Street, gifts you should never give your pet. Your family and friends probably aren't the only ones who will be getting something special from you this holiday season. We bet you'll be giving your pet a gift too. But whether it's an extra yummy treat or an awesome new toy, it's important to make sure that the presents you give your cat or dog are actually safe for him to enjoy. A trip to the veterinarian emergency room during the holidays is a surefire way to ruin your festivities. So we're sharing 7 dangerous gifts you shouldn't give your dog or cat. Turkey and chicken and other meat bones is first on the list. Of all the gifts your dog could get this year, leftover turkey and chicken bones seem like they would be pretty high on his wish list. But no amount of begging is worth the risk of giving him a meat bone. Any bones, including turkey, chicken, pork, and fish bones, whether they're raw or cooked, can shatter or splinter in your dog's intestinal tract and cause intestinal blockage, or worse. Plus, bones and bone fragments can be choking hazards. Also, dangerous toys. If a toy is specifically made for pets, it must be safe, right? Unfortunately, that's not always the case. Cat owners shouldn't give their kitties toys that have string, ribbon, or yarn, since these can get stuck in the intestines if accidentally swallowed. And before giving your cat a toy mouse, make sure any glued-on eyes or noses are removed. Dog owners should think twice about giving their pups balls that are too small, toys with string or ribbon, or toys stuffed with beads or beans. It's better to be safe than sorry. If a toy seems like it could be dangerous, keep it away from your pet. Next on the list, your rich and fatty leftovers. After a big holiday meal, you may feel like your pup deserves to indulge a little too. Before you feed him your leftovers, consider this. Too much rich holiday fare could lead to pancreatitis, a potentially life-threatening disease that often is characterized by vomiting, abdominal pain, diarrhea, and fever. Not fun. If that's not bad enough, some of the items on your plate could contain toxic ingredients like garlic, onions, and raisins. If you must give your pet a taste of your holiday dinner, make sure the portion is small and doesn't contain any toxic or rich ingredients. Tinsel, garland, and other holiday decor is next on the list. It's shiny, it's crinkly, and your cat probably loves to play with it. But tinsel isn't safe to give your pet. If your kitty accidentally swallows this popular holiday decoration, it could harm his intestines and require surgery for removal. The same goes for garland and other long, stringy holiday decor. Keep it out of reach of your pet, or better yet, don't decorate with it at all. Next, chocolate. Go ahead and keep all that guilt you won spinning the dreidel for yourself. chocolate can be poisonous for pets. Chocolate contains two toxic ingredients, caffeine and theobromine. In general, the more bitter the chocolate, the more dangerous it is for your animal. Signs of chocolate poisoning include vomiting, diarrhea, lethargy, panting, and seizures. Holiday outfits that don't fit. Santa hats and reindeer ears are certainly adorable on pets, but you should make sure the outfit isn't too big or too small. It also shouldn't have any loose bells, strings, or other potentially harmful items. And you should make sure your pet doesn't mind wearing clothes. Pawing at or shaking off the outfit is a sign your pet isn't a fan. And sugar-free baked goods or candy. One of the best things about the holidays is when a neighbor drops off a plate of delicious sweets and baked goods, you may be tempted to share a bite of your sugar snowman cookie with your pet, but there's a chance it could contain xylitol, a sugar substitute that's toxic to dogs and possibly cats too. So make sure you check for that. Next, from Dogster, maybe you're welcoming a puppy into your home and family during the holidays, then you'll want to know the basics of how to socialize a puppy to help him grow up to be happy, by Audra Pavia. Wondering how to socialize a puppy? Let's take a look at how you can help socialize your puppy with new people, other dogs, different places, and other animals. Puppies are a lot like kids. They need to see new things, meet new people, and have positive experiences in life. This is vital if they're going to grow up to be happy and well-adjusted. If you have a puppy, it's your job to provide all this to your dog while he's still young and impressionable. How to socialize a puppy with new people? Probably the best way to socialize your puppy is to introduce him to new people. Start when your pup is as young as 9 or 10 weeks old. Ask friends and family to visit you and spend some time playing with and petting your puppy. Make sure they wash their hands first to get rid of any germs. Include children of different ages in the mix and have them use the toy to play with your puppy. You want your puppy to get used to kids and view them as friends. How to socialize a puppy with other dogs? This is especially important if he is your only dog. You'll need to set play dates with friends who have puppies or take him to doggy daycare. Follow these two rules. Wait until your pup has had all his vaccinations before you expose him to other dogs. Supervise all dogs' play to make sure your puppy is not being dominated by a bigger or older puppy. If your puppy is having trouble holding his own, enroll in a puppy kindergarten class so that you can expose your pup to dogs his own age in a more controlled environment and where you can help build his confidence. Introducing your puppy to different places. It's vital to take your dog places when he's young. If he never leaves your property, he'll grow up thinking the world outside your yard is a scary place. Once he's had all his vaccinations, start taking him for walks around the neighborhood into nearby parks. Bring him with you when you go to the local pet supply store. If you have friends who like dogs, ask if you can bring your pup with you when you come to visit. How to socialize a puppy with other animals. If your dog will be around other animals, such as cats, chickens, and horses, start socializing him around these creatures as soon as you can. Teach your pup to be calm around them. Don't encourage chasing or barking, and allow them to get used to their presence. Remember that each experience your puppy has must be positive. You don't want him to be traumatized or frightened in new situations. Take it slow, and if you see your dog is afraid, make the experience less intimidating by reducing the amount of exposure or waiting until he's a bit older to try it again. And finally, do any dogs really need sweaters or coats? Dr. Marty Becker, DVM of Vet Street, says, well, a writer asks, how do I know if my dog needs a sweater or quote this winner? Dr. Becker responds, I feel safe in saying that if you have a healthy young Siberian Husky or Alaskan Malamute who's acclimated to cold and has the glorious coat common in northern breeds, you likely won't have to invest in canine clothing for walks in snow. In general, there are three kinds of dogs who benefit from the insulation provided by a sweater or coat, as well as the protection offered by life as a pampered house pet. Small dogs, dogs who are elderly, chronically ill, or both, and greyhounds, whippets, and dogs of a similar thin body type, especially those with short fur. What these dogs have in common is that they have a more difficult time generating and retaining enough body heat on their own. For these dogs, a little help keeping dry and warm is always a good thing, though protection from the elements is the biggest reason to put clothes on dogs headed outside. It doesn't hurt to have a sweater on these dogs inside if you're keeping the heat down to save energy and money. At our house, our two little Heinz 57s, Coyote and Cora, get jackets when they go out in the snow, as do our thin-coated grand pugs, Bruce and Willie. Our big dogs, Gracie, a Labrador Retriever Pit Bull mix, and Shakira, a Golden Retriever, do just fine without sweaters or coats. In fact, they love the snow. If you have a dog with arthritis, protective clothing is just one thing you can do to make winters more comfortable. Pet-safe heated orthopedic beds are a good idea. You can also talk to your veterinarian about nutraceuticals such as glucosamine and omega-3 oils that are clinically proven to ease joint pain. Other dogs may benefit additionally from the use of pain control medication, typically non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs or NSAIDs. Even if your dog doesn't need a coat, having one certainly won't hurt him. I know many people who put slickers on their pets before taking a walk in the rain or snow because it saves them the trouble of cleaning a wet dog at the door before coming inside. For example, boots help keep things neater too, and where de-icing solutions are used, they can protect your pet from licking toxic chemicals off his paws. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks for listening, and please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.